John Akers is with us, and, you know, you've probably heard John on TV, on radio, and all kinds of quoted in newspapers this week as a result of the shootings down in Marshall County. John, lifelong educator, started as a teacher and moved into being a principal and opened, well, your Bryan Station, how many years?
It was a Bryan Station for eight.
And then opened Paul Lawrence Dunbar. You there for how long?
10 years.
10 years. Now you're with Center for School Safety in Richmond.
17 years.
Have you been there that long?
I can't believe it, but yes.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Wow. You're younger than you look.
I started when I was 12.
Yeah, you must have. But anyway, John, first of all, tell us what you do, what your job involves.
Well, the Center for School Safety is kind of a one-stop shop for all the superintendents and principals and teachers in the state on various topics that deal with school safety that could manifest itself in a school. I could spend the rest of the hour just talking about the different topics like that. So anything that could adversely affect something going on with students or staff, we touch in one form or fashion, and we provide services and training and technical assistance to schools on a daily basis on things like this.
So what happened on after this shooting, the school shooting in Marshall County, how did you guys react, or what take it from there? What happened there?
Well, we provided services to that group there, and I don't want to get into too much detail about what we're doing with with Marshall for obvious reasons, because it's an ongoing investigation.
Sure.
But statewide, and I'll just reference this back to the Sandy Hook shooting that we had several years ago, what do teachers tell kids the next day? What do parents tell kids? Because they leave their TVs on, and their kids are watching the news media 24/7, so to speak, in the homes. So they're not oblivious to what's going on. So they're saying, okay, what should we tell our kids, a second, third grader, or all the way up to a high school kid? What should we say? And so we've sent out talking points for parents. We send out talking points for teachers. And so that's the kind of way we're handling this immediate situation in the state of Kentucky. And I said again, from the governor's office and from the Department of Education and our shop, we're providing services down to our folks down at Marshall.
How many people do you have in your department?
Not many. We have just four people in my area, but I have two people down at Murray State University that runs our website and our resource center, and I have a training consultant and a technical service guy up at the School Boards Association. But we have connections with all these social agencies and school agencies, counselors, groups, you name them, emergency management folks that we can talk with and get services to any school district in the state.
Deidre?
Well, I know that makes such a huge difference. And as you're saying, John, the media is always giving information out, and you can get consumed with that. But now with, social media and everything that the children have just at their fingertips, that's got to be so difficult to help kids get the right message out and learn how to communicate and express themselves in a healthy way so they can move forward and figure out how to process the situation.
You're so right, Deidre. We're at a point, I'm going to defer from talking about Marshall, but just say in general, when we have situations like this, we want to, quote-unquote, try to return to normalcy as quickly as possible, but yet we need to make sure that we're given enough time for investigators to do what they need to do in things like this. But going back to your point right now, and again, in cases like this across the country, when there's school not in session, kids are on social media.
Right.
And they're saying their opinions, and then this gets into the, I don't want to get into this deeply here.
No.
But fake news.
Right.
Inaccurate information. And so that's why we don't discuss those things publicly right now. We're going to let all that funnel through the police officers. But that being said, you're so right. Social media is alive and percolating down there, as it is around the country, you know, right now about that. And so we want to get away from that and get into what are we going to do now, and we call this the recovery stage.
Well, and we even had our own situations that went on here in Lexington yesterday with, people calling in schools and threats and things like that that thankfully did not cause a problem. But it causes fear for the children at the school and for the administrators and for the teachers and for everyone involved. So what is a good suggestion if you have a student who's nervous about going to school? What do you do as a parent? I mean, how can we help them, or what do you guys try to tell us to do?
Well, this sounds like being an apologist, but it's not. Schools still remain one of the safest places in our community. But let's face facts. Bad things can happen no matter where you go. Churches, malls, any place where you go, you're vulnerable to someone who may want to do bad things with firearms. And so we have to balance that with reality. But schools are safe places to be. Every school in our state has, public school, has a an emergency operating plan. It's reviewed annually with their first responders. It's practiced on with their students, with their four emergency responses. The lockdown, obviously, is one of them, fire, severe weather, and then your earthquake. And they all practice them the first 30 days of school. Then they practice them again now during the second semester, at the beginning of the second semester. So we are trained in that. We have protocols about keeping doors locked when they're being when classes are being taught, exterior doors being locked. We communicate considerably with continually is the word I want to use, with our first responders on how we can make things safer and make things more fluid in the times of emergency. So we're better prepared than we ever have been, but that being said, you just can't stay that way.
Two state lawmakers have filed a bill that would allow schools to hire marshals to carry guns on campus to use them in the event of a mass shooting situation. I think I know how you feel about that.
If they do that, they need to approach it very cautiously, Jack, from the standpoint that my office is right next door to the Department of Criminal Justice training down there in Richmond. And when I talk with our folks down there, police officers get 100-plus hours of training on how to deal with their firearms. And when they're in a crisis situation, police officers will tell you this, that they only hit their targets about 20 to 30% of the time. Now, to get somebody in there who doesn't have the equal amount of training that police officers have gives me great consternation in there. And who are we going to hire into that position? Is it going to be a current teacher? Is it going to be an administrator or whatever? Police officers, and they'll all tell you this too, they have targets drawn on them because they're cops and they have firearms. The bad guys know we need to get rid of the cops first so we can do our thing first, or second, excuse me. And so I have a whole lot of problems with this whole issue about somebody other than a police officer having a firearm on campus.
How about metal detectors?
They aren't what you think they would be. Dunbar High School, for example, has 48 exterior doors. You put one metal detector in the front door. If they want to get things into the school, you go side doors and windows and whatever. And who's going to man those? Now, in Fayette County, we're happy. And I shouldn't say happy. What's the word I want to use here? Fortunate that we have police officers from our law enforcement group from Fayette County Schools to be there to do that. But across the state, you got to get your mind out of the Fayette County model and think more rural. And they don't have police officers. They only have 260 police officers in the state out of 1,200 schools. So who's going to man those metal detectors? And once a firearm does come in through that and you catch one, what's the teacher going to do? Or what's the principal going to do? We do not have the power of arrest, so we call a cop. And we have situations in our country where armed officers are at the door with those with their firearms and the metal detectors, and the people who have the guns shoot the officers before they even come in through that area. So
there's no easy answer, is there?
Well, the answer to that, what we hear nationally and stuff is like that, is make sure, and Deidre would probably buy into this being a teacher, the relationship that kids have with the teachers are paramount. If the kids have confidence in the teachers, they'll come to the teachers and report things, something's not right. And we're trying to preach the message to all the kids across the state. If you hear or see something that doesn't sound right, by golly, tell your teacher, tell your parents, get it to school administrators so we can do something about it. And one thing I'd like to say here real quickly is that we only have the kids 15% of a calendar year. Parents have them 85% of the time.
Right.
We need them to step up to the plate, monitor what's going on with their kids on social media, get those cell phones in their bedrooms at night, and I'm talking about the parents' bedroom like that, and parents and charging them there, that is, and making sure what their kids are doing on social media is wholesome. And if they see anything that's not wholesome, then they need to report it to school officials and law enforcement officials so we can get a head start on some of this stuff.
John Akers, man, we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you, Jack.
You guys keep up the good work.
We'll try.